traveling. I think last year there was 19 different states represented, and we certainly consider it a joy and a privilege to be able to go and pray for myself, Brother Ingram, as we try to host that meeting. Pray for all the ministers that will be there, their families, the ministries that will be represented, that God would just anoint them afresh and anew for the work of God that they are doing. And we're moving to a different facility, and so just some uncertainties. And God's not uncertain, but sometimes in the will of God there are things that it's a little bit wondering what will be. So pray that God just have his perfect will. I believe the hand of the Lord has been using that meeting in a great way. So remember that this week, if you would, the preacher's meeting. In Philippians chapter number 4, in verse number 4, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen. May the Lord bless you today as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The final four words of verse number 8, the word of God, through the command of Paul, says, "Think on these things." The last few weeks, we certainly have given a lot of time. I pray that it's been beneficial. I pray that it's been worthy of consideration, the scriptures that deal with us concerning what we should think about our mindset. And in this verse as well, again, Paul reiterates the fact that we should think on these things, or that you and I have a mechanism of control on deciding what we allow ourselves to think about and what we reject to think about. I trust that you and I have a decision and a desire to think only those things that are profitable and godly, and those things that will help us grow spiritually. And I realize that any time that you approach this territory, one of the natural responses of some would say, "Well, it's easy for you to say that, or it's just easier for you." That's why I specifically chose my text today, because it's found in the book of Philippians. And you and I understand that Philippians is one of Paul's prison epistles. We call them the prison epistles because they were written from prison. So today I give credence not just to what is said, but who said it. After his conversion, the Apostle Paul probably suffered as much as any preacher of the gospel save Jesus Christ for the cause and the glory of his Savior. Paul certainly paid the dear price as being a preacher. And yet, in all things, verse number 4 says, rejoice. In all things, rejoice. He says the peace of God will pass all understanding. And could it be that Paul gives us one of the keys to his life in verse number 8 when he tells us, "Here are 8 things that I process, and I will only allow myself to think on things that pass this test." I don't know about you, but I have a great desire to know more, to do better, to find any wisdom that I can to apply to make my life better. Some people, I realize that that is not their desire. That is, they are comfortable where they are at. And although I don't respect that, I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I can wrap my mind around the fact. But yet Paul, in his life, God help us, that in the, because none of us here today have suffered as much as Paul. None of us have paid the price personally. Paul suffered bloodshed. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul paid a torturous price because of his walk with God. It was more than being ridiculed on the job. It was more than being written up by a boss for failure to do something or someone taking your pew or parking spot. Paul literally shed blood for his walk with God. But yet in the midst of all of that, Paul maintained and sounded out notes of victory such as, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, which was written from the stench of a jail cell. Paul, writing from the Roman prison, said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus while he is shackled in prison. Now that may not mean anything to you, but it does to me. Somebody that has paid the price, someone that is walking in that torturous steps of shed blood for the cause of Christ, but yet can still maintain victory. That's who I want to be like. Because I can find a gazillion people that never can find victory or joy. But I found one here that regardless of anything that came his way, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. It's kind of like Charles Schulz, who wrote the Peanuts, the cartoon. Lucy was one day in her normal kind of grumpy, cantankerous self. And she's at her house, and her younger baby brother, Linus, decides that he wants to cater or coddle his sister. So he sits her down on the couch, and he even gives his blanket to Lucy. He goes into the kitchen, prepares a sandwich, places a chocolate chip upon the plate, and fills the glass with lemonade and brings it back to Lucy, who is in that melancholy state upon the couch. And Linus serves her and says, I believe everybody deserves to be pampered once in a while. He gives to Lucy and he says, is there anything that I have not thought of? And Lucy said, well, have you thought of the fact that I really don't want to feel better? It didn't matter what he did. She did not want to feel better. There are some folks that only the Lord can I say it this way? The Lord can only help those that will allow him to help. In a message such as this, and like we have dealt with over the last few weeks, it will only be if we allow God and desire God's help. It's not automatically going to happen. It's kind of like we were sitting in the dentist office this week and Beth was getting ready to go back for a root canal and she was signing life insurance forms and everything in case she didn't make it out, her last will and testament, all the horror stories of root canals from other people. Appreciate all the kind words of compliments and well wishes. And so we were in the waiting area there at the dentist, and a 93-year-old woman, which we didn't know that till later on, but this, to set the scene, this older woman sits down, and she's somewhat spry and somewhat talkative and begins to recount stories of what she did during World War II and how healthy that she is, and bright blue eyes, just one that seemed to enjoy living, laughed a lot. Seemingly she laughed at her jokes more than we did, but she was certainly enjoying the day as much as you can being in a getting ready to go into the dentist chair. And finally asked her how old she was. She was 93 years old, and then she talked about five major operations that she was supposed to have had, but she simply said, I reject pain. She said, I won't receive it. I kind of chuckled like you're doing right now, but I mean, she's 93 and getting around. I mean, she had a few walking aids to get around, but she simply said, I reject it. When she said that, I chuckled of myself, and I have several times. I tried to Friday night in the tent as we were camping out, and it was 28 degrees, and I was freezing. I tried to reject that, but sometimes you just can't. You've got to deal with it. But I thought, oh, that I could have more of that attitude that woman had, that when stuff comes our way, sometimes we're just so quickly, readily ready to accept and say, well, this is my life. This just has to be. But yet there are those people like the Apostle Paul that when doubt and fear and worry and anxiety and division and confusion and stress and worry tried to invade his life, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, they resisted it and took authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, God, we could do more of that. Amen. We could have more of that. Somebody said garbage in, garbage out. And that's the reason why some folks have so many bad things coming out, is they allow so many wrong things in. Amen. And so Paul gives us eight things that we're going to look at in just a moment that we need to use, is what I want to call the Philippian filter today. This is the filter that Paul used to vet every thought that came into his mind. And you and I understand what a filter is. We some people have sold water filters to take out the impurities of the water. Your car has that fuel filter on it to make sure any elements that would disturb and the combustion of the engine, that fuel filter. We put computer filters on to stop erroneous or destructive viruses from coming to our computer. So we understand what a filter is. So if we put them on our water, or put them in the water, and we put them on our cars and on our computers, maybe we ought to put one on our mind today and put one in front of every thought that comes into me and say, if I'm not going to let impurity in my water, if I'm not going to let elements of impurity into my gasoline, and I don't want a virus on my computer, then I've got to believe I'm not going to let everything the devil tries to put in my mind. It's not going to get there. I'm going to take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says this. He says, first of all, if things are true and honest. I've looked at this, I promise you, 50 or 60 times in the last few weeks. And I don't want to get lost in just eight characteristics and a random thing that we go through. So I'm going to break it down in four categories that I believe tie these together. And I'm going to put these in pairs. And this is what I want to leave you with today. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Paul said, I'm only going to allow myself to think on those things that are true and those things that are honest. He talks and alludes to the eternal, unchanging truths of God's word. Those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are absolutely venerable and reverent in the sight of the counsel of God's word. If it's not true and it's not honest, it has to be untrue. The first characteristic of that which I need to reject is anything that is untrue. Anything that is untrue. God doesn't love me. Untrue. I said it's absolutely untrue. Is there any of us that doubt the love of God? He proved it on Calvary. So I should never, from this day forward, I should never entertain the thought for 1 second, 1 millisecond, the smallest element of time that you can measure. I should never entertain the thought that I am not loved of God. Now, I'm not talking about a sinful lifestyle. I'm not talking about failure or grievous doctrinal error, but I'm talking about who I am. I'm talking about the life that was given to me in God. It was worth dying on Calvary, and Christ shed his blood. And if I would have been the only person on planet Earth, do you still believe Christ would have died on Calvary? But there are some folks, amen, that they never conquer this area. They never, nobody cares about me. Nobody understands me. Nobody, no. I'm going to tell you, friend, there may not be anybody in this building that understands you. And there may not be in this building anybody in this this building you think that can relate to you. But as far as God is concerned, amen, it is untrue to think that you're not loved. It is untrue to think that you're not worthy of Calvary. It is untrue to think that you're an accident, that you're a mistake, or you've done too much to despite the grace of God that He could not reach down and save you. It is untrue. When the devil tries to bring up your sins and you're thinking, and there they come in your mind. Well, I'm really not saved. Untrue. If your sins are under the blood, untrue. Well, I don't know what to put my faith in anymore. I don't trust anybody. I can't believe anybody. Everything seems to be a facade. You can put your trust in the Word of God. This is our foundation. Can I preach to you this morning that 100%, every ounce of my strength has an absolute resolute faith that this is the eternal, never changing Word of God. I've built my entire life upon the validity of this book. I'm judging eternity by what I find in this book. I'm building a family by what I find in this book. Amen. Yes, I understand that people fail and make mistakes and people die because they're people on their best day. They're mere mortals. But all thanks be unto God that has forever settled His word in the heaven, that not one word, not one jot, not one tittle will ever pass away. That the flower fadeth and the grass withereth, but it is the word of God that stands the test of time. And anything that challenges the validity of God's word, it's untrue. It's not coming in. I said it's not coming in. It's untrue. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, untrue. Anybody let any untruths into your life recently? You see, if we let in one thought, the thing is, it's not just one thought. It's bringing a harvest. I said it's bringing a harvest. Sow a thought, reap an action. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You let one thought in, and you're going to be dealing with it over and over, because it is going to germinate. It is going to plant a harvest, and it's going to come on and on and on. If I doubt any area of God's word, then I've opened the door to doubting all of God's word. If I doubt the smallest part of my experience in God, has the devil ever tried to talk you out of being saved? Anybody in this building? Has he ever succeeded? Has he ever got to third base or second base? He has with many. But we know that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We know that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We can look at our own life, and that which we used to hate, we now love. That which we used to love, we now hate. We're different people. Who did that? It was a born again experience in Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are true and honest, Paul said, number one, if it's untrue, I'm not receiving it. Number two, whatsoever things are just and pure. Just has the idea of righteousness, observing divine law, pure, being chaste, holy, righteous and holy. So if I'm wanting to think righteous thoughts and holy thoughts, what do I have to reject? Unrighteous. So not only do I stop untrue thoughts, but I have to stop unrighteous thoughts. Unrighteous. We live in an unrighteous world. But can I tell you, immoral thoughts are wrong. We live in a promiscuous society. But fornicatious thoughts and adulterous thoughts are wrong. To look and to lust is to commit the act in the kingdom sight of God. So any unrighteousness, it has to be stopped. Because when lust is conceived, it what? It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Because when it is conceived, when I allow that into my mind, it's going to get in my heart. Something is wrong when the church mirrors the world and the world mirrors the church. Something's wrong when the church can't have prayer meeting but can have movie night and the community comes out for movie night. There was a day when the church used to preach a life-giving message that we came out from the world and we lived separate, that we were different. You know why we preached that? No, not because we were narrow-minded and legalistic, but it was the word of God. Amen. It was the message of God that a believer, a child of God, that we don't want to think upon the unclean, immoral things of this world. And something is wrong with the mind of the church when the church can be entertained by that which is produced in Hollywood. Amen. When the church can be entertained and satisfied with the mood of Hollywood. Something is wrong with the child of God when they want to look up the rating to see, is it really not that bad? Maybe it's not all that. Something is wrong. We have lost our sensitivity. We have lost our walk with God. We have lost the fire of the anointing of God. And the world is drifting in the church, and the church is drifting to the world. And it's just this one big confused mess. But God, help us to bring out the sword of His Spirit and show that any unclean, immoral thought, it's wrong. I said, I don't want it in my mind. Amen. Hear me, young people. You've got to be careful in the day and the hour in which we live. Used to be you'd have to travel down to the wrong side of the city to get into trouble. But now you're just a few seconds away from the mouse click to see things that would completely scar and undermine the moral fabric of your life. I'm telling you, it is wrong. I said it is wrong. I said it's wrong. There's not a filter made by man that's greater than the filter of your own sanctified will. If you put your will on the altar and you'll sanctify your mind and sanctify your heart, I promise you there'll not be a harvest of immorality. There'll not be a harvest of adultery. There'll not be a harvest of an illicit affair or an unplanned pregnancy. I said it will not happen. I said my mind is mine. I said the devil's got this world, but I'm glad my mind is clean. I said, anybody glad your mind is pure and think good godly thoughts on the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. 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 Unrighteous. Homosexuality will never be right. Not because you and I don't like it, but because the Bible says it's wrong. So any homosexual effeminate thought is unrighteous, not because we don't like it, but because it exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Every lesbian thought is wrong. It will never be allowed in the kingdom of God. I can stop preaching it. I can change my mind. I can go a completely different direction, but it will never change the veracity and the authenticity of God's word. Every preacher we know can have a symposium and vote and change our doctrine and our guidelines, but it does not change, thus saith the word of the Lord. Fornication will always be wrong. And in this society, sometimes they have redefined. But I'm telling you, petting and kissing, wrong. You're playing with fire. Something is wrong when we can leave the platform where we've sung about a holy God and shouted in a sanctified manner and crawl in the back seat of a car and do things that are immoral in the sight of God. And sometimes mom and dad even knows and says, well, kids are going to be kids. Foolish, foolish thinking. And then why would I bring something into my home that is going to feed wrong desires? Why would I bring something in, no matter the modicum of delivery, whether it's a computer, whether it's a DVD in the mail, whether it's a card down at the store, whatever, the red machines at the gas station, if it's the red box at McDonald's, whatever the modicum of delivery, I don't want it in my mind, and I don't want it in my heart. Something is wrong when the children of God can pop back in their lazy boys, open up the bag of popcorn, and laugh at the same jokes, the same innuendos, and the same adult comedies that the neighbor next door is laughing at, and he's going to hell, and you're going to God's heaven. You are sadly mistaken. Any unrighteous thought has to be stopped. If it wasn't possible, the Bible wouldn't tell us. It is possible. God help me and you to live in a victorious manner. The Philippian filter. Run it through Philippians 8. Run your social media through Philippians 4:8. See what happens. Philippians 4:8 will shut down your social media. It'll shut it down. Matter of fact, Philippians 4:8, it'll shut down foxnews.com. It will. That's as bad as People Magazine. I've never bought one People Magazine in the checkout at the grocery store because I don't care anything about what's going on in Hollywood. And I don't know why the editors of FoxNews.com think that you and I are interested in all the soap operas and all of what's going in Hollywood. Tell me something that's relevant. Tell me about where this country is headed. Give me the news. I don't need gossip. I need news. But that is what America clamors for. It's what moves the needle. And the world is the church, and the church is the world, and we're all. It's why the Catholics can get on the stage with the Pentecostals and we can all bless each other. Help us. Help us. If you and I and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Catholics are all going to heaven together, that's a shame and a mockery of Calvary. Number three, lovely and good. Whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of a good report. I want you to take your Bibles out real quickly and open them back up to Philippians chapter number 4. Because I have contemplated hard and hard and hard over of a good report. You know really what I think Paul is dealing with here? He's dealing with slander. He's dealing with gossip. In verse number 2 of Philippians chapter number 4, if you notice, there are two individuals listed there. You see that? Those are two sisters in the Philippian church. I would encourage you to do a study on both of those. And what you're going to find out is, why did Paul conclude verse number 2, I beseech. What does beseech mean? Beseech. Beg, plead, ask, Request. I request, I beg, I plead. Paul names two church individuals that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, what does that sound like to you? I beg you, please get along. I beg you, quit talking about each other. Historians and scholars will show, as they, if you do a study on these two sisters, that they were at odds and trying to divide the church. And it was long before AT&T and Ma Bell, but they were still spreading gossip on each other. And Paul says, hey, if it's not lovely and if it's not of a good report, don't think about it. He's trying to keep the church together. And so the first thing that I said, we have to reject that which is untrue. We've got to reject that which is unrighteous. But we need to reject that which is unresolved as well. There's a lot of people that have unresolved issues in their mind. They're unresolved. It's things that have not been dealt with, and it's creating a flood tide of anxiety, a flood tide of memories, and they're rooting today over what happened yesterday. You know what happens when you go see a psychologist? If he's really old school, he's going to put you on the floor with a bunch of pillows surrounding you. He's going to put you in a fetal position. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take you back to when you were born. And he is going to arouse the emotions and the pain of your birth into this world. And he's going to walk down every area of your life. And when you get to the end, you know what you're going to have? A lot of depression. Hallelujah. Because he can't solve the issue. He doesn't have the answer. And then they're going to prescribe some medicine. Not because it solves any issues, but it takes the edge off. Or it takes me out of reality. It masks what's going on. Unresolved. I'm bitter. I'm hurt. I hear people say, then go get it fixed. Go get it fixed. If Brother Morey would have, and he never has, but if he would have hurt me 5 years ago, and every time I come to service, can't stand that hypocrite. Look at him up there on the front row. Who's he think he is? Trying to fix breakfast for those bus children. Brown nosing the pastor. You laugh. There are a lot of people. A lot of people. And it's not a new problem. The Philippian church had the same thing going on. So you got people. You got problems. You got life. You got issues. Is there anybody in this building, your life turned out a little different than you thought it was going to? Anybody in this building, life took you down some curves you didn't anticipate? Anybody feel like suing the preacher that married you because he didn't tell you everything that you've... You know what I ought to do? I'm going to tell you, most people don't want the issue resolved. Because if they resolve it, they lose their crutch. If they resolve it, then that they lose their permission to quit being Lucy. If I let this get healed up, then I've got no right to be Lucy anymore, even though I never had the right to be Lucy. So what Jesus say? Go to your brother. Resolve it. Fix it. Because how in the world? Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I can't stand Maury, but this is the day that the Lord hath made. Send revival, send revival. I hope his business fails. Send revival, send revival. This is the day. We've been trying to do that for a long time and it doesn't work. I said it doesn't work, and I'm not going to heaven and sit across from the marriage supper of the Lamb with somebody. I wouldn't step across the aisle and shake their hand. It's not going to happen. Yes, everybody in this building has been hurt. I've had people that intentionally tried to hurt me. I've had people that lied on me. I've had people done things that I don't want to think about because it creates the wrong thoughts. I don't want to go there. So I'm not letting it in. I said I'm not letting it in. I want to sing. This is the day. And I want to be thinking about Jesus. I want to be thinking about the God of glory. I want to be thinking about right now, not last year, not 10 years ago, or not something that happened when I was a child. At some point in time, I've got to take responsibility for where I am at right now. Whatsoever is not of faith. Man, when's the last time you heard somebody come down that road? We'll preach everybody in hell over a lot of things, but what about whatsoever is born not of faith is sin. Unresolved. Unresolved. I'm not wanting us to all hold hands, gather around the altar and sing Kumbaya this morning, But I am telling you, there are people that let things that have happened to them live with it. Ruins their marriage. Can I tell you, that's a lot of times, that's why people try to find a new job. They're just trying to. They won't resolve the issue. That's why people even try new spouses. They won't resolve the issue. That's why people change churches. The next church has got just as many problems. But they won't resolve issues. Things are going to happen. I hate to tell you that. Instead of being like Lucy sitting on the couch and says, I don't want to feel better. I don't want to spend my life that way. God has good things in store for me. I said, God wants to bless my marriage. God wants to bless my home. I've got kids to raise. Amen. Oh my God, I wish I could preach. I wish this thing would get down in my spirit and get down in your heart and rearrange the way that we look at things. I tell you what, if you won't listen to the gossip, they won't call you back. I'd be naive to think that there's a church on planet Earth that doesn't have a gossip. Thank you. And it's not Isabel. But I tell you what, when the gossip tries to call and says, have you heard? You know what you do? Laugh at them, Isabel. Just laugh at them. Laugh at them. You silly, immature, pitiful thing. Don't ever call me with that again. Just laugh at them. Laugh at them. They won't call you back. You won't have to worry about blocking their number. You didn't give them what they wanted. Oh, what they wanted. Well, are you serious? Oh, tell me more. I've been thinking something about that. I saw the other night the way they come in with that new suit. I knew they couldn't afford that car. I knew. Yeah, as soon as they had kids, I knew. Oh, come on here now. Amen. I'm telling you, friend. Amen. Am I preaching where we're living this morning or not? Amen. But oh, I don't want it in my mind. Amen. Somebody says, that's why, preacher, you're optimistic. No, I'm selective in what I want to think about. I could get myself in a fury, a flurry by 1 o'clock and be depressed and not even want to come back to church tonight, thinking about everything I've been through, thinking about some of the looks that I see this morning. If I really worried about
about it. I'd want to be on pills too, but I can't worry. I said I can't let it in. Here's what I know. The trumpet's getting ready to sound. I got to serve Jesus. I got to take my family. I got to get ready. I'll take as many as I can, but I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the worry to be a babysitter, to be a psychiatrist and a cheerleader. I want to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Untrue. Unrighteous. Unresolved. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, thoughts that lift up. Virtue, praise, lift up. So I have to stop anything that is unprofitable. Is there any lifting qualities in that thought? Is there any lifting praise? Don't change friends today because I'll get the blame. But if there are people in your life that you can be having a good day, and after you see them, you feel like there's a smokestack nearby and your world's just all foggy. If you've been having a good day and you get around someone all the time, I know it sounds like I don't care about people. That's not the issue today, but I'm telling you, after 40 years in the wilderness, I'd figure out why. I'd get dizzy living on a merry-go-round. I'd want to figure out how to get off and go somewhere new. There's other toys in the parade besides merry-go-rounds. If you're feeling good and you've been around them and all of a sudden, you just feel drained. Oh. I mean, you feel absolutely lifeless. You might want to check, because they're probably letting things in your mind. Give me 60 seconds and I'm done. Fellas, come here for a second. Surround me if you would. They've got 8 different thoughts. I don't have to read them off to you. They're going to show them to you this morning. Just make a circle around me. But I want to preach to you this morning from the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. See if this sounds familiar in your Bible. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity most thoughts. Show them what the thoughts are. Hold them up. Bringing in the vast majority of thoughts. Bringing in the thoughts that you don't like. Bringing in all, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Any thought, am I in the Word of God right now? I said, is it in the Word of God? I'm not saying it would be easy, but I am telling you, it's in the Bible. There's more in the Bible than just smoking cigarettes and going to the dance hall. There's more in the Bible than that. Every thought and imagination is fear in the will of God. I said, is fear in God's plan for my life? Is hurt? He said he would come to what? To deliver us. He would remove that. What about envy? Doubt. Is doubt in the plan of God? Worry. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't make. What am I going to do? But my God shall supply all your needs according to your glory in Christ Jesus. That's what you're going to do. You couldn't solve it anyway. I worry. What about immorality? Hey, but what about it? Is that God's plan? Well, it's just a loose day. We're living in the 21st century. Get used to it, preacher. Strife, jealousy, disunity, disharmony, bitterness. Is that? No, none of that. I said, none of these are the plan of God. And Paul said that God's desire is to bring into captivity every thought. You gotta go. You gotta go. But not just that, you're going into captivity. Put them in captivity. Captivity. I said, in captivity, in the blood of Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Ghost. I said, through the power of the Holy Ghost, it's high time that I realize I'm the child of God. I've got power. I said, I've got power. I don't have to live worrying. I don't have to live stressed out. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I'll stand, lift your hands toward heaven this morning. I said, there's power. Power. Power in the blood of Jesus.